Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Dark to Light with your host. Not with the most, but a host that is just trying to do the best he can in the absence of Tracy. And that's right, your neighborhood Frankly Frank. Frankie Val on the drums over here from New York on another spring day in the Rockies. The Rockies have been moved to New York. And we're moving along in a week that, to be honest, is just going by as quickly as everything else has. There is no stopping the tide of time anymore, and the news helps us just consume every waking moment of every day to the point where it becomes a whirlwind of time travel. And now we are just being pushed toward the outer limits of 2021, a year that doesn't even sound real. Already past that first quarter of the month, and away we go. What are we going to talk about today? A short little ditty to make sure that we string ourselves from one end to the other and don't miss a day. I have a couple of headlines here. Some of them might come up on tonight's episode of Quite Frankly, but I'm sure some of you won't care because some of you don't listen to Quite Frankly, so it's going to be fine. It's going to be the first and only time you hear it. Now, here's what it is. First one up, I woke up to the very woke and amazing, the amazingly woke stance, the announcement that United Airlines put on out to the world. They wanted to let everybody know, ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very important stuff, that their flight deck should reflect the diverse group of people on board our planes every day. That is why we plan, United Airlines plans, for 50% of the 5,000 pilots we train in the next decade to be women or people of color. And you can learn more and apply now. 50%. 50%. Now, if you're talking about the percentage of this country that's black, that's 13%. To think that 13% is going to be, is not representative unless it's close to half or more, it's just the ethos of the left. That's just it. That's why on television, if you put on network television, any of those nighttime, primetime shows now, I don't even know what the hell's on TV. I don't know. I feel bad for the souls that actually watch that stuff. But that's why every other character is gay, as if, you know, the country is 80% gay people walking around. Or, of course, the other thing that they do is they say that if you're not gay, you're secretly gay. You want to be gay, but you're too shy to come on out with it. But here we go with air travel. It's one thing to say, oh, well, you know, everybody's secretly gay. That barista that just served you your coffee, they love men. That guy loves dudes. That you can just say, can you please just get the hell out of my face with this and believe whatever the hell you want? But when you talk about air travel, ladies and gentlemen, there should be a standard that doesn't rely solely on how well you get a tan and what your genitals look like. There should be a standard there. You know, I would have to imagine that the goal, the ultimate goal, should be get the best pilots up in the air. I do not want an affirmative action pick performing open heart surgery on me. I want the best person, whether they are black, white, Hispanic, Inuit. I don't care what the hell they are. A sane person doesn't make these considerations, but sane people do not run these gigantic corporations. They don't run them anymore. They are all priests and priestesses of a very sick religion that are constantly meddling and fiddling with themselves. And somebody had said the same, and a lot of people are saying the same to United Airlines. And United Airlines, their public relations team, working overtime right now because they realize that once again, because it's become a sport for the left, this kind of self-ownage where they shoot themselves in the femoral artery trying to show how amazing they are. They don't realize what they've done. Just like with Georgia, Georgia losing the All-Star game and having it be brought by the MLB, who wants to pretend that it's 1947 again and there's segregation in the country, that they have to step up and be the people to do the right thing over laws that are so innocuous compared to the rest of the country, especially compared to Colorado, where they have moved it. So they took the we'll get around back around to United Airlines, but Major League Baseball took the All-Star game out of a city, Atlanta, Georgia, that is 51% black, which you would have to imagine would translate into a very considerable amount of black business ownership. And they took an event, an All-Star game, all the pomp and circumstance that surrounds it, the home run derby, the press junkets, just the added attention, all the tourism that's going to come into Atlanta for the week, and they have, and it amounts to about $100 million of extra revenue for any city that hosts it, just because of the foot traffic. They took away tens of millions of dollars from black Americans to protest something that is just not real. And they brought it on over to Denver, Colorado, which is 76% white, 9% black, a lily white place that has even more stringent voter ID laws than Georgia is considering. And all for what? For nothing. For nothing. They're insane people. They cannot be trusted with anything. They really can't. You can't trust people that are this messed up it's like a drug. It's a mind virus. So United Airlines responds to people that are making the obvious observation that can't we just focus on quality instead of, you know, racism and sexism? Because they're trying to, once again, fight racism and sexism by being the most overtly racist and sexist people on the planet. They love this stuff. I think they really just love making themselves look horrible. These are the types of people that go onto Craigslist and look for hookers to kick them in the nuts with stilettos on. They just love the kind of humiliation. They just love it. I don't know why. People get off to this kind of stuff. It's just the way it is. But United Airlines replied to a few people that had that sentiment in mind. They said, all of the highly qualified candidates we accept into the academy, regardless of race or sex, will have met or exceeded the standards that we set for admittance. Well, my question from there is, how do you really know? How do you really know when you have arbitrarily excluded an enormous talent pool from consideration based on race and genitals? How do you really know? They've exceeded the standards. Well, I want people that exceed those standards. I want people that exceed the people that you think have exceeded the standards of admittance, which you're just pretty much saying in a roundabout way of saying they're good enough. I want people who are beyond that. So thank God I never flew United anyway, because good enough is not a great standard for air travel. But then again, who knows if I'll ever be on a plane again? I know a lot of you are thinking that these days. Who know the hell knows if we'll ever be on planes again? Because if I ever have to go to California, I'm going to have to block off a week and gas up. One tank of gas will get me there from New York to California. Gas up and go to California. I'll see you in a week. I'm packing now. I'll bring myself a little pee bottle. That's another thing that happened. There was this ridiculous, I didn't get this up, but I was talking about it last night. There was this ridiculous little back and forth between a Democrat senator or a House representative that was trying to take a jab at Amazon that says, oh, $15 minimum wage is not doesn't make Amazon a progressive company. It doesn't make Amazon a progressive company. $15 minimum wage. They own the Washington Post. They are all over the place. Whenever they start doing this universal basic income stuff, they're going to go to places like Amazon to make sure that they're the ones paying the tab of people's welfare checks. So this is just more of everybody acting their little act out. And I forget who the hell the senator or the representative in the House was that went after Amazon. They said, they're not really $15 doesn't make them a progressive company when they've got people that are driving around their trucks that have to pee in bottles. And I say to myself, peeing in bottles? every trucker on the road has a piss bottle in their cabin. Every trucker on the road, at least everyone that I've ever talked to. Hell, if I go on a long trip, I make sure I have a piss bottle in the car. Don't you? So then Amazon takes a little swipe back at the Democratic representative and said, nobody has piss bottles. And like, what? Why are you denying this stuff? This is just the reality of being on the road. So there is a ongoing battle, an interdimensional battle going on within this leftist. I don't know what the hell they think they're doing. And the rest of us are just sitting back, not necessarily eating popcorn, because it's not entertaining. It's actually kind of disturbing. This is the kind of entertainment you used to get out of watching bums fight each other in New York City. You know, you walk out of a show, you walk out of a Broadway show sometime with your family, it's 11:30 at night, all the schizophrenics are out, and they start beating each other up in the streets in the mid-90s in New York City. That's the kind of stuff that you saw. Now these are the people who are running United Airlines and Major League Baseball and Amazon and are representing people on the floors of Congress. I can't believe it. It's bum fights. This used to be a taboo. Boy, oh boy. Here's another little something for you. Space Hero. Space Hero wants to take us all to orbit. The Axios Powers published this. There is a developers of a TV reality show called Space Hero. They want to make space cool, and they want to take 24 contestants all over the world to live in a space village during the filming of the show, which plans to feature space technologies developed by dozens of nations with space agencies, all of whom have gotten their space technology from the U.S. Yes. Yeah, that'll be fun to see. And they say they want all the winners to be sent to space. They should send the losers to space first. In fact, if we can start slowly sending all the losers on the planet to space, let's start with government. Things will be a lot better. You know who we should start with? Let's start with John Boehner. John Boehner, according to Mediaite, John Boehner destroys Trump. John Boehner is a drunk loser that nobody ever thinks about anymore. And his name is way too close to Boehner. So John Boehner, the drunk, lush loser, destroys Trump, says Mediaite. Bloody insurrection happened because election bullshit he's shoveling, they said. The only blood that was shed that day was of an unknown Capitol Police officer that shot and killed an unarmed woman, which in any other circumstance would have been a travesty that everybody agreed on. So he's still talking about insurrection. And everybody, John Bell, I can hear the mindless fools out there seeing this going, well, I guess a broken clock is right twice a day. They won't even give him that much. They'll say something like, well, I guess a broken clock is right at least once a day. And in John Boehner's case, then both hands of the clock fell off. Republicans, right? I can hear them all. I can hear them. You say, Frank, you sound schizophrenic yourself. They make you schizophrenic. Because you have to think on their behalf to anticipate what mindless, lazy nonsense is going to be thrown at you next. Oh, boy. I didn't expect to go off like this morning. Welcome. What's next? This is from newstimes.com. The Trump White House provided reporters with a gusher of leaks. Everything's changed. This is from the Washington Post. After 2.5 months of Joe Biden's presidency, something is missing from news coverage of his administration. Leaks. and this is... Now, I don't think that these are people who are actually thinking that. They understand that they need something to write about, and it's just going... This is just for more stupid people to absorb. Donald Trump now, the Trump White House provided reporters with a gusher of leaks. Well, there were people leaking in the Trump White House, but they were being fed nonsense. They were being fed absolute nonsense by the very few people inside the White House that were loyal to Trump, which is why toward the end of his time in office, there was barely anything coming on out. They had found all the leaky faucets and they had closed them up and they've gotten people out. There was nothing coming out of the Trump White House of any kind of merit, especially after year two. Anything. And now they're saying, oh, wow, everything has changed with Joe Biden because there's no impetus to try to destroy the man. You really think, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that people actually think this is real? Anyone out there who's playing this game at home, especially if you're a Democrat, you want somebody on the inside, please leak and destroy this man. You know that you had committed yourselves to sabotage the entire way. You're not going to want anybody to sabotage Joe Biden after what you just put the country through to put this corpse in the White House. Of course everything's changed. You're not going to cause him any more problems than the man already has. Physical health problems. The guy is just withering in his footprint. Everything's changed. This is so ridiculous of a take. But the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, Amazon's paper, they need something to talk about, those non-progressive assholes that they are, according to Democrat House representatives. Here's another thing I want to talk about for a moment. Derek Chauvin. Now, we spoke about this on Monday, and just letting you know that this is going to be the path that we are walking as far as violence goes and as far as future insurrection goes. I did a lot on this last night's show. You should definitely go listen to it. In fact, my Monday night, quite frankly, show was pretty jam-packed. I think it was one of the best shows that I've done all year. And last night's show was a short one-hour follow-up to a lot of the things that we were talking about on Monday. Both shows need to be listened to together in order. They're really fantastic. And I'm glad that they're on the record. But we're going back to this because, of course, this murder trial of Derek Chauvin out in Minnesota is going to be that flashpoint for another round of violence all over the country. You have people, Eccles, I forgot her name. She is one of the more prominent Black Lives Matters people there, faces, that has pretty much said that if they do not send Chauvin to jail and give him an acceptable murder charge and send him off and sentence him accordingly, then there is going to be fires all over the country. Once again, fires of police stations? No, fires of businesses, homes, Black-owned businesses and homes. They do not care. They're terrorists. They're terrorists. And as we saw from the very light sentencing that has been given to the two teens from Washington, D.C. that killed the Pakistani-American Uber driver a couple of weeks ago, you know, the terrorism pays off because they got nothing. They're going to be put in some kind of a juvenile detention program or something until not past the age of 21, and they will not be put into a prison. So once again, murder, anti-Asian hate, right out the window because, of course, the assailants were the wrong color and the victim was the wrong kind of Asian. And our foremost Asian in the country, Kamala Harris, is nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. But then again, Indians and Pakistanis, they don't have a very friendly history with each other anyway in world history senses. So, it's all been brushed under the rug. And meanwhile, they're coming down on Derek Chauvin, which as this trial, aside from all the weird anomalies that have gone on with the background of this story and the George Floyd story and what it got turned into in 2020, the trial is starting to look worse and worse for the prosecution. Worse and worse. Listen, here's from the Wall Street Journal. Derek Chauvin murder trial testimony focuses on police training. Prosecutors in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin continued on Tuesday to focus on police training and tactics in an effort to show Mr. Chauvin used excessive force in his restraint on George Floyd. Chauvin faces charges of second and third degree murder and manslaughter for kneeling on George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes. He has pleaded not guilty. The Hennepin County Medical Examiner ruled Mr. Floyd's death last year a homicide. Mr. Chauvin's defense lawyer, Eric Nelson, says Mr. Floyd died from a combination of drug overdose and a heart condition. Mr. Floyd was handcuffed and face down during the arrest as Mr. Chauvin knelt on his neck while two other officers restrained his back and legs. A fourth officer kept bystanders away. Mr. Floyd cried out several times he couldn't breathe and eventually appeared to lose consciousness. Johnny Mercer, who has been in the Minneapolis Police Department since 1996 and heads a department that trains officers on use of force, said the department didn't teach its officers to use their knee on the neck of the suspect who is prone and handcuffed. Now, the only problem here is multiple people have answered that his knee, especially from a couple of standpoints, looks to be on the shoulder and not on the neck. You also had the one autopsy that was done that said that there was no signs that there was a forced asphyxiation, that there was any kind of rupturing or bruising to the trachea, the windpipe, anything that would show that there was a physical impingement of George Floyd's ability to breathe. Also showed that there was a lethal amount of fentanyl in the system, so that he was effectively dying of an overdose when he was confronted by police. Now, what happened here is that on Mr. Mercer on Tuesday made a similar statement. The cornerstone of our use of force policy is sanctity of life and protection of the public. You want to use the least amount of force necessary to meet your objectives of control. When shown a photo of Mr. Chauvin on top of Mr. Floyd, Mr. Mercer testified that Mr. Chauvin's use of knee on Floyd's neck isn't taught in the department. He said that while the type of restraint may occasionally happen, it wouldn't be authorized for someone who's handcuffed and under control. Mr. Nelson then showed Mr. Mercer photos from the final moments of Chauvin's restraint of Mr. Floyd to demonstrate Mr. Chauvin's knee wasn't on Floyd's neck the entire 9 minutes. Does it appear to be a neck restraint? Mr. Nelson asked. No, sir. Mr. Mercer replied, saying that he agreed with Mr. Nelson that it appeared to be a prone hold on an officer would apply with their knee. Then, of course, you had Maurice Hall that appeared Tuesday at a virtual hearing and he is a friend of George Floyd, who started invoking the Fifth Amendment. Because, of course, he realizes that he is now in a situation where he could be thrown in jail for providing the drugs that George Floyd had taken prior to his arrest. He said that, earlier Tuesday, a lawyer for a man who may have provided the drugs that Mr. Floyd took on the way that he was arrested had died, invoked his Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself because he could face potential charge of third-degree murder himself. Your Honor, at this point in time, Mr. Hall has no immunity, said Adrian Cousins, the public defender for Maurice Hall, who spoke in Tuesday morning hearing without jury present. Mr. Hall was in the car with Floyd on the day that he was arrested. Mr. Floyd's girlfriend, Courtney Ross, testified that she believes Mr. Hall provided drugs to Mr. Floyd, but she never had witnessed the transaction. Mr. Nelson had said that if he had an opportunity to question Mr. Hall, he would want to know if he had been the one to give drugs to Mr. Floyd. The testimony could prove key to the defense in efforts to argue that drugs killed Mr. Floyd and not Mr. Chauvin. So if you are an objective observer of this case that is transpiring right now, ladies and gentlemen, of the man who was then paraded around the country for four funerals, all that doubled as much needed Democrat rallies because they had no viable candidate. They still don't have one, and they had no viable platform. He became the Democrat Party platform in 2020. And anybody who's watching this objectively and can disassociate themselves with the cognitive dissonance that is obviously running through the people who have already figured this out the day after the video of George Floyd's death was circulated around the internet, anybody who can disassociate themselves with that that media campaign to already draw conclusions on what had happened and what kind of systemic overtones were at play there, then you would have to imagine that this is looking more and more like a case that is winnable for Derek Chauvin. Okay? And once again, ladies and gentlemen, the only people that should be brought to task on whether or not policing and policing techniques are appropriate for a specific city or any kind of municipality that funds the police department is the city council, the executive council, the mayor, whatever the city government has set up for itself there. It is the only people responsible. This is the only reason why this is a national story is because the press took this small town or Minneapolis, not necessarily a small town, but took a city's problem, a city's dramatic event, and turned it into a national event, which also spurned burning and looting and other deaths, over 24 other murders over the course of the rioting that was going on, billions of dollars of damage that was going on. And of course, it's terrorism. It's terrorism that has been allowed and promoted by mainstream media to serve a purpose and also to build up any kind of momentum that was not there for an election. And it didn't help at all either. It ultimately didn't help. But they just love inflicting pain. So there's that. Where are we at over here? And speaking of elections, here is Tim Cook. Tim Cook wants Americans to be able to vote on their iPhones. Apple CEO Tim Cook envisions a future where Americans cast their ballot through their iPhone. We do our banking on our phones. We have our health data on our phones. And so why not? Maybe we shouldn't be doing those things on our phones. Maybe we shouldn't. You know, it's just like one thing after another. And I've been saying this for a long time. They're not going to stop until elections are run like American Idol. We are going to have President Sanjaya one day. And we actually already have. And for those of you who don't get the reference, it was back in, I don't know when the hell it was, 2005, 6, 7, somewhere around there. I think I was still in college. American Idol, of course, everybody is voting by text message. And Howard Stern, chief among them, said, hey, let me use my audience and let's go and let's promote an obvious poor candidate of American Idol just as a gag. And this kid, Sanjaya, this Indian kid with crazy hair, who really was just not good enough to even to be called a good karaoke singer, was blowing past people who were obviously more talented than him, because Howard Stern and his audience, which at the time I think was still on terrestrial radio, which so it was a lot larger, they were a part of the trolling of American Idol, and they put this kid into like the semifinals, and he did not deserve to be there. So Tim Cook wants Americans to be able to vote for their representatives this way now too. President Sanjaya is on the way, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't matter, the country's a joke anyhow. And then finally, Caitlyn Jenner explores a run for California governor. So there's a lot of exploring going on out over there in the Jenner household. But watch out, California. Jenner's coming your way. And I don't even know what else to say now. I think I've done a lot. I think if Tracy were here, and we did all of these stories in a row, it's easy an hour, but I've got nobody to bounce off of right now. Frank, how do you do it? Oh, schizophrenia helps. That's number one. Imaginary friends help. And of course, years and years of wanting to do radio and knowing that there's no audience out there, but I'm going to pretend until the audience arrives. So I've got a lot of my work under my belt. And here I am with you all. And I'm happy to have done another morning episode with you on this Wednesday, the 7th of April, 2021. This is Dark to Light. I am your humble host of the morning, even though you're listening to this in the afternoon, and I will be so on Friday morning as well. By then, hopefully, I have some kind of a question that I can ask of the Dark to Light viewers. I'll put that out on Twitter and on Telegram and on Gab and all that stuff, and maybe we will make it a Q&A Friday. It's something of that sort. I just got to figure out what the question is. Or maybe I can just have open questions. Almost like open lines. Hot open lines. Like a hot open sandwich. And that's what we'll do on Dark to Light on Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Tracy, wherever you are out there, I hope you and the family are having a wonderful, isolated... I haven't heard from her all week, so she's definitely living up this vacation well. This is the way you're supposed to vacation, ladies and gentlemen. You just disappear into the fog and nobody hears from you. That is how you vacation. Good for her. I got to take a week off so bad. I was talking to a few people last night about that. I think it just came out of me, and I never say it. Because once I'm in the flow during the day, I love everything that I do. I can't tell you, ladies and gentlemen out there, and I'll speak on behalf of on Tracy here too, especially when it comes to this show. I'm so grateful for the work that I do. It's the work that I've always wanted to do. It was work that I always was afraid that there would never be an opening for me to do, because radio, traditionally, when you talk about FM or AM or Sirius satellite or anything else like that, it's a very competitive place. And there's only a few different types of places that you can get a job. Job security is not a very, it's not a very stable thing. Because formats change, the ownership of radio stations change. It's a medium that is constantly under attack. It's very highly censored. And regulated by the FCC and this and that, and nobody wants to cross certain boundaries, and there's a lot of advertising on radio and all that stuff. The technology is still very, very relevant and very, very useful. And it'll always be that way. Radio is something that is never going to be obsolete. Never. I know there are less and less people listening to it in their cars, but the technology itself is not obsolete. It is miraculous, and it needs to be preserved. And one day maybe we'll get back to a place where shortwave radio is a very prominent form of human communication again, and with less regulation and a little bit more of a wild west where just a human voice can be tapped into. Thoughts can be heard and you know, shot like a flamethrower across continents. It could be done. It's really wonderful. And it's very competitive in that respect. So to be able to know that whenever we get behind microphones, whether it be on my show, Tracy over here, all of it combined, that any broadcast that we do is being heard by what is the equivalent of packed baseball stadiums worth of people, is such an honor. Such an honor. And thank you all so much for the support, for the sponsorships, the becoming patrons, and everything. You're making dreams come true, and you're also really fertilizing the ground for new media in ways that is becoming so formidable. Nobody is watching that blinking freak Rachel Maddow on television at night anymore. The only people watch Rachel Maddow are the people who write for Washington Post so they can write about what Rachel Maddow did the night before. That blinking freak. You ever realize how much she blinks? Watch her for a second. Go and dig up a Rachel Maddow highlight from the last week. Doesn't even matter what the hell it is. I haven't seen her in months and months and months, thank God. But watch her eyes blinking. You think that she's going to fly away? Flapping, flapping, blinking, blinking. What the hell is wrong with her? Nobody want to watch that. You at home, you are the ones that have made this possible. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful personally, and thank you on behalf of Tracy. I'll see you on Friday. And for those of you who want to see a little bit more of my own work, I'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock for Quite Frankly. It's a full 2 hours. I have a talk radio veteran, a paranormal, parapolitical talk radio veteran, a master of the outer limits, Clyde Lewis is on with me. Clyde Lewis of the Ground Zero radio show. That's going to be wonderful. I'll see you then at 7 o'clock. Enjoy this. Share it far and wide. And thank you once again for a fantastic afternoon. See you later.